Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome. Welcome to an hour of Mind Power with Donna Sebo. Today we are going to be discussing a subject that I feel touches the life of almost every individual around in one way or another. What is that subject matter? It's the subject matter of addiction, alcoholism, drug addiction, whatever it is something that is devastating. It touched my family. My father had a major problem with it. My husband's father had a major problem with it. And I can relate to so many people I know. One member of their family or another, or a very, very dear friend, has become a victim of this substance that seemingly has a grip. We've watched them sometimes commit suicide, do horrible things in their lives, destroy everything around them. Well, this show this morning is going to be about two dedicated people. One, a very famous actress, Claudia Christian, who just recently has come out with a book, Babylon Confidential. And the other is Dr. Roy Escapa, who has written a book called The Cure for Alcoholism. And a couple of years ago, he was on my show, and we discussed this at length. The two of them have come together because they both believe that the more we can share information about how this addiction can be worked with, you do have options, and you're going to be surprised, I think, at what you will hear, but also informed by the time we're finished. I want to welcome you, Claudia Christian, to the show, and Dr. Roy Escapa. Now, you're in England. Where are you in England, Dr. Escapa?
I'm right in the heart of London at present.
And then, Claudia Christian, where are you?
I'm in Los Angeles, California, Hollywood, to be exact.
Oh, don't you just love it? I'm in the Pacific Northwest. Technology, woohoo!
Isn't it
so
fabulous?
Great. Claudia, I'm going to focus on you first. You are a very, very famous movie star. You have been involved with all kinds of environments in Hollywood. There might be some, starry-eyed young women that would look at you and at what you've experienced and seen all the beautiful photos. You're absolutely gorgeous.
Oh, thank
you. And
they'll
say, oh, I want to be like her. Now, one of the series you were in was Babylon 5, where you portrayed a Russian warrior. I think that's a very dramatic way of describing her.
Mm-hmm.
But your life was not idyllic, was it?
No, I mean, I've been incredibly blessed with wonderful friends and family, and I've been doubly blessed by being able to support myself for 30 years doing what I love. I left home at 16 and became an actress immediately on television. So I was really, really lucky, blessed, whatever you want to say. But, with those incredible highs came the incredible lows when alcoholism struck in my late 30s. I mean, I had some devastating things occur to me when I was a child, but I lost my brother, I suffered from a rape, but I mean, that had nothing actually to do with what happened to me later on. It wasn't anything psychological, it was a physiological manifestation of a predisposed genetic situation, which was I had two grandfathers as well who abused alcohol. And so I was pretty much, my gene pool was, headed towards that way. So in my late 30s, when it struck me, it was incredibly difficult for me to deal with because I've always been very much of a control freak and very healthy and, you know, just a person who really enjoys life. And so when alcoholism affected me, it was devastating. I mm-hmm. felt a lack of control. I felt that my life was out of control, and I was very angry at the fact that I couldn't find a solution because I tried everything, hypnosis and diet and rehab at $60,000 and AA meetings and everything, and nothing worked for me. So I was very frustrated and very angry, and so, that was an incredibly low period of my life.
Now, one of the factors that's in the story of Babylon Confidential, you really are very upfront about your life and about the environment that is in Hollywood. Mm-hmm. And I know my husband had been in that environment, and he would tell me about parties that he went to where white coke was, you know, like talcum powder. It was all over the place.
Oh, it was everywhere.
You know, and so the opportunity to be involved with substances that can be so devastatingly addicting, and you had in a situation prior to the alcohol problem where you actually got terrified because you were using cocaine, I believe it was, and the inside of your nose started deteriorating.
Yeah, I was using it as a diet pill because the pressure to be thin in Hollywood was so intense, and I was living with a very thin man who was obsessed with thinness, and I was literally using it so that I didn't eat. It was like a very expensive diet pill, but and a very dangerous diet pill, but it was extraordinarily stupid, but everybody was doing it. All of my girlfriends were doing coke. Everybody was doing coke. It was, you know, the late 80s, and it just was normal. But I got a really bad scare one day, when I realized that, that my nose was suffering from it. And being an actress and being a voiceover artist, you know, your voice and the sound of your voice is incredibly important, and I started to sound stuffed up, and that's when I got the scare of my life and just said, you know, I can't do this anymore. It's going to affect my being, my career. So luckily, that was very easy to quit cocaine. I never looked back. I just stopped doing it, and I never missed it. It wasn't like alcohol at all.
Mm-hmm. And the alcohol had an insidious pattern. Now, Dr. Escapa, I know that in your book, and I'm so impressed with your material, The Cure for Alcoholism, because you're very, very clear about how alcoholism isn't an overnight thing. Alcoholism is something that progresses. And I've done a number of interviews, not unlike with Claudia, where this is a progressive patterning. It is something that evolves. In your experience, what do you feel are some of the danger signs or the red flags? Maybe that's what I should say, relative to alcohol and addiction.
Well, nobody walks into a bar at the age of 21, has a beer, and is automatically an alcoholic. It's a learned problem. You need a genetic predisposition, and you have to drink, but over many sessions, months, even years, until you lose control. And the red flags are many. Losing control. People may have, at late stage, blackouts where they forget where they've been, what they do. They may have a kind of awareness in the beginning that, wow, I went out to that party and I drank too much and I behaved in a silly way. They may get comments from loved ones and friends that they're not able to control their drinking, that somehow they're not like everybody else. Because most people who consume alcohol are not addicted to it, do not become addicted to it. But at least 15% of the population is carrying the genetic predisposition on what we call the mu opioid receptor. And this, if you are carrying it and you drink, can lead to an addiction, which up until now has been incurable.
Now, this opioid receptor that you've mentioned, is there a way of determining that it exists, or is this something that the body develops as you are consuming alcohol?
Everyone is born with this opioid receptor and the opioid system. Literally billions of them exist in the brain and in the nervous system. It's just that some of us are born with a system that is more sensitive. So when alcohol is drunk, the brain's natural morphine, which we call endorphins or endomorphines, are released by the alcohol, and this then reinforces that system and the pathways. Eventually, the pathways become highways, and remain that way forever. Up until the Sinclair method, there was no way to reverse the system in the brain. It was seen also as a moral or spiritual problem and not a medical problem. Now we know that it's actually a medical problem for which there is a medical solution, and it all has to do with this opioid system and opioid receptors.
When you have someone like Claudia that comes into your environment, how is it that you, I mean, they know they've got a problem. How is it that you're able to determine what needs to be done? Because I know that there is a specific pharmaceutical that affects the brain chemistry and those hardwired pathways. Tell us what it is and why does it work?
Well, what it is it's a very safe, generic and inexpensive medication which was approved by the FDA in 1994 called naltrexone. When you take this medication, it is absorbed and it goes to the opioid receptors or endorphin receptors and it blocks them so that when alcohol is consumed, what then happens is the endorphins released by the alcohol bounce off these receptors and there's no reinforcement. And each time this is done, and it doesn't happen overnight, it requires many sessions, on average 3 to 4 months. The opioid system, the wiring in the brain that drives the addiction, is weakened. So eventually you can eliminate the alcohol addiction and bring drinking back under control or abstain altogether without the cravings.
Mm-hmm. Claudia, how did you know you were at a point of no return? I mean, for you, in your book, Babylon Confidential, you go into some detail about it, but you tried all these different things,
mm-hmm.
and you just were out of control. How in the world did you find out about Dr. Escapa?
Well, I have to add one thing that if you're hiding alcohol or lying about alcohol, that's another sign that you're either an alcoholic or on your way to becoming one. And I was at the point where I was lying about my alcohol consumption, and when I did realize that I had a problem, I would go completely sober, which, as we now know, as I now know, causes alcohol deprivation in the brain, which when you do fall off the wagon, your binges become worse and worse and worse. So I didn't know any of this. I would just go cold turkey, stop drinking, 6 months, and then, of course, the insidious part of the alcoholic brain says, oh, you've been 6 months sober, so you're not an alcoholic. Have a glass of wine. And this was just this constant, you know, treadmill that I was always on. So I would fall off the wagon, drink for a few days, make myself sick, recover for a week. I mean, it was just a constant revolving door for me. The absolute worst experience when I fell off the wagon after something like 9 months of sobriety, I fell off big time, and I literally poisoned myself. And I said, you know, I need professional help, and I went to a detox center because that's how scared I was. I thought I was going to have a seizure. And I went into that detox center, and it was, once again, degradation, humiliation, treated me horribly. I was not giving any medication for 4 hours. I mean, literally could have had a seizure. It was awful. So I left after about 16 hours. I checked myself out, and on the way out, I picked up a pamphlet for Vivitrol, which is a monthly shot at $1,000 a pop. And it says that it was supposed to reduce cravings. And I kept calling the detox center to get the shot, even though I really didn't want to spend the money. And I just said I was desperate. So they never returned my phone calls, thank God. And I researched on my own the ingredients of Vivitrol, thinking maybe I could, you know, rustle it up somehow and give it to myself. And I found naltrexone. And by Googling naltrexone, I found the cure for alcoholism. And then I found Benbella, which was Dr. Escapa's publisher, and I ordered some naltrexone online from India, and I got the naltrexone. I took it, and from the very first time I took it, it was like a cloud had lifted. It was a miracle. I opened a bottle of wine, I had a glass of wine, and I stopped. I couldn't even finish the glass. And it was, and that bottle sat there for a week, which is unheard of in my house. I mean, you know, that was an absolute miracle. And so I contacted Roy, and I said, you know, this is absurd that, you know, after I'd been on it for a few months, I contacted Ben Bella and asked if I could talk to Dr. Escapa. And he was in New York at the time, and I said, you know, this is incredible. Why don't more people know about it? Why didn't they tell me about this in rehab? This is crazy. And so he said, you know, if you want to do something, then write a book about it. And mm-hmm. that's why I did. And, you know, it's still staggering to me, you know, 3 years later that not more people are utilizing this, and that I sat in a $60,000 rehab center and nobody said, oh, by the way, there is one more option besides prayer and Tai Chi and watching movies and, you know, doing yoga. There is an actual medical cure. Nobody once said that to me. Nobody mentioned it. We're talking about people's lives. Forget about greed and money and all that. We're talking about whether or not somebody lives or dies. And the fact that they do not give this option out to people, that they don't educate people about the Sinclair method, is an atrocity in my mind.
Well, I concur. I think people should know that they do have choices. And that's one of the reasons I wanted to have both of you on the show, because you, Claudia, as an individual, you have been in a position where you've lived through various experiences. And again, you go into that in your book, Babylon Confidential, and tell your story. And then Dr. Escapa has been trying to tell the story. But Dr. Escapa, you've encountered a lot of opposition here in the United States, but you now have some clinics that people in the United States can work through. Can you tell us where there is a clinic? Is there one in Florida, Los Angeles? How are you able to reach people here in the United States? Because this is a generic product that's very inexpensive.
That's correct. It's an inexpensive medication. Nothing. It's a tablet form. It's not a monthly injection, very expensive injection that Claudia was referring to. Most people can get it through their general practitioner, through their family doctor. The American Medical Association published the largest clinical trial on addiction using naltrexone, and in their journal, the Journal of the American Medical Association, in 2006, actually stated that naltrexone should be made available in general medical settings. This was called Project Combine. Otherwise, patients may go untreated, and that it was highly cost-effective. And in many ways, it is unethical not to prescribe this medication in the correct manner. This medication doesn't act directly. If you take it with abstinence, we have around 30 studies that show it will have no effect. Mm-hmm. But there are over 90 studies showing that if you combine the medication by taking it 1 hour before a drinking session, eventually you will reverse the addiction. It will be removed from your physiology, from your brain, from your body, and we can achieve 80% target rates. And what that means is that people will either be drinking within World Health Organization safety limits, or they will be able to abstain because they now can.
You have shared, Dr. Escapa, in the past some very powerful stories, and one was a story not unlike Claudia's. It was a woman, she was married, she had a family, and her alcoholism was totally out of control, much like Claudia described with her own. And she was destroying everything around her. Her family had done everything, and when she found out about this and she was able to take it, then to her amazement, very much what Claudia described, she was able to think. She was able to, and I think it took her a few months, but she carries those little pills with her at any time that she feels. So she has them with her all the time, even though mm-hmm. she doesn't take them, because they're only supposed to be taken when you want to have a drink. And eventually she reached a point where she just didn't want it at all, and it took about 3 to 4 months, and she felt like she was a her real self. There wasn't this alternate persona that was just consuming her and destroying her.
That's incredible. Yeah, the thing about addiction is, and I refer to it as the monster in my book. It's not you. I mean, I would look outside my body and see myself drinking. I mean, there was a point when I drank vanilla extract because there was no alcohol in the house because I had the shake so badly. I mean, you know, that's not me. You know, that was not me. It was a frightening thing to have something controlling you like that. And I have an enormous. It's interesting because, you know, I used to never understand drug addiction or anything because I never had any addictive problems. Not caffeine, nothing. I was addicted to nothing. And now I have this utter respect for it because I've lived through it and I understand it now. And when people say I can't control it, I used to never understand that. When they say I can't stop throwing up, I'm a bulimic, or I can't eat because I'm an anorexic, or I can't stop doing heroin or whatever. I never understood that. Now I completely get it because it's not you. It's the compulsive nature. It's the addiction that is driving you, and it's something that you really have to deal with physiologically, neurologically, because it's not a thing that you can just wish away.
Yes, I think that's very important. Dr. Escapa, I know that when I interviewed you a couple of years ago, that there were very definite studies relative to naltrexone and being able to utilize it for alcoholism, but there were ongoing studies regarding drugs. And my goodness, we have such a huge, huge problem with this. I mean, we have major problems with pharmaceutical addictions. There's just all of this. Does this help any of those people in those addictive behaviors?
Well, yes, certainly we know that it works for alcohol. That's beyond a shadow of a doubt in at least 80% of cases. With opiate addiction, such as heroin, morphine, and the legal morphines, OxyContin, this has to be handled medically managed in a more careful way because the naltrexone can precipitate withdrawal. But the studies are coming out showing that it is a very effective way to eliminate this type of addiction. But it is not only applicable to cocaine and methamphetamine, for which the studies are, you know, very clear in favor of the Sinclair method, but also for non-substance addiction, such as gambling, which releases endorphins when the individual gambles, whether they win or lose. This is another application. So it has ramifications for other addictions, but at present we are certain that we can reach the success rates of 80% in alcohol addiction.
Now, with this understanding, with this knowledge, this is real. Very few physicians are aware of this. Like Claudia said, many times people are closet alcoholics. You won't even know. I mean, they're doing it. I had a girlfriend that one day I was stunned to learn that she had been hiding 1 gallon jugs of vodka in her closet. Her husband hadn't had a clue that she'd been doing this for years. She was in excruciating pain. And it wasn't until she had to go in for emergency surgery that he went in to get something of hers and he finds all these bottles.
Oh,
she's hiding it. You know, all these bottles in her closet. And they'd been married for years. He had no clue.
Wow.
Fortunately, you know, that was something that after the surgery, she didn't have it anymore. But she came out and she told me this. And this is a friend I've known her most of my life. And I had no clue that she had this kind of a challenge.
Wow.
And this is a powerful thing. And it just, she said it was messing up her life terribly. So are there clinics? How can people? We've got listeners, you know, from all over the world that are listening at this time. How can they find out about facilities that might be in their environment and research it?
Donna, I don't think you need a facility. I mean, honestly, you buy the book, The Cure for Alcoholism. I cured myself for $30. My prescription was $25, and I got a used copy of The Cure for Alcoholism. I mean,
holy Moses!
Literally, I went to my GP. I brought in the letter that you can download on thecureforalcoholism.com. It's a letter that you bring into your doctor. It says that you'd like to try the Sinclair method, and they prescribe you naltrexone. You bring the prescription home, and you take it, and you read the book, and you take it an hour before you drink, every time you drink, and you keep your pills with you in your car, on your keychain. They make little, you know, keychain pill things. You keep them at home, keep them at your best friend's house, and that's it. You don't need to go to psychotherapy. In fact, they've done clinical trials where psychotherapy has nothing, no change whatsoever with the percentage of long-term success rate. It's still upwards of 80% whether you have therapy or not. This is a physiological cure. So, you know, all you have to do is get the prescription, read the book. It's that easy. You don't need to go to a clinic and spend $2,000-$3,000 so they can monitor you. There's no reason for that. Most doctors will do a liver test on you to establish if your enzymes are, you know, good enough to take naltrexone, even though it's incredibly safe and non-addictive, very low-grade prescription. And then that's it. You just get the prescription and get on it. You can even do it privately and order naltrexone on the Internet. I mean, it's that simple. You don't need to go to a rehab place or a clinic or anything like that. You can cure yourself for less than $50.
That is
amazing. And you can do it in private.
In private,
exactly.
So you
don't have to wear the, you don't have to wear the terrible stigma and the taboo of I am an alcoholic on your forehead.
And you don't have to tell your coworkers. You don't have to tell your boss that you're going away for 30 days. You don't have to tell your family. You don't. If you want to do this alone, you can do it completely alone. Just get yourself a prescription, go to a doctor you trust, or like I said, even order it online, but it's much more expensive online. If you have insurance, it can cost as little as $30 a month or $25. I mean, it's incredibly inexpensive. It's so easy to do. Just stick to the golden rule. Always take your naltrexone 1 hour before you drink, every time you drink. That's the golden rule. And that's it. And over the period, I mean, you can either be a natural immediate responder like me, or you can take anywhere from 3 to 4 months, like Dr. Escapa said. Some people take a little bit longer, you know, but it's that easy. I know it sounds too good to be true, but it literally is that easy.
That is just amazing. Dr. Escapa, so many times when people are in this process that I know of parents that are just beside themselves when they find out their kids are trying, you know, drugs and alcohol, and they have no clue that this is going on until the behavior really gets wacky. What would you tell a parent that might have a teenager that has started on this road? Because many times, as you said, it starts very young. And mm-hmm. I know of someone that started drinking beer underneath the table in their family's kitchen, and they were just a little tyke.
Yeah.
And they started it, and, oh, this was so funny. And there was alcoholism that was in the family. And mm-hmm. by the time they were 16 years old, they were just shooting down shots of stuff.
Sure.
The mother was beside herself. What would you recommend to a parent?
Well, one of the great things about the Sinclair method discovered by Dr. David Sinclair is that it can be used as a prevention technique, so that if parents are suspecting that their children are starting to drink and there is a family history, they will be protected if they are given naltrexone. They can go to their family practitioner and explain that this is a potential problem or is becoming a problem. They can show the book, which has a chapter for medical professionals and a letter to the physicians from a physician and David Sinclair, Dr. Sinclair, about it. And they can start giving their teenagers the instructions that you should take naltrexone before you drink, 1 hour before, or else you're very liable to lose control and become addicted to it, like Uncle John or whoever else in the family had the problem. So there is hope for these cases, very much so. If you start taking naltrexone before you start drinking, you will never become addicted to it.
I wish I would have known
alcohol.
This is incredible information. Dr. Roy Escapa in London, England, and Claudia Christian in Los Angeles, California. And Claudia, your book, Babylon Confidential, you talk about your fascinating career, and there's all kinds of awesome photos of you with superstars and all the things that went on behind the scenes that the average person in meeting you would never imagine had occurred in your life, including your off-and-on relationship with billionaire Dodi Fayed before he dated Princess Diana. So there's a lot of stuff about you, your personal life, which I think took a lot of courage for you to put out there, and especially to talk about the challenge that you had with alcoholism, but how the Sinclair method made a difference. And Dr. Escapa, I think your book, your updated book on the cure for alcoholism, The Medically Proven Way to Eliminate Alcohol Addiction, is wonderful. And I'm so thrilled. I know I have shared your previous publication with a number of people, and I will continue to promote this because I think this is so vitally necessary. I know that alcoholism affected my family, my husband's family, in devastating ways, and the people that suffered from it died horribly. They had illnesses and things that came about because of the brutalism to the physical body that alcohol brings. And I've known so many other people. So I compliment both of you. I thank you very much for being my guest today. The websites, for those of you listening, for Claudia Christian, go to BabylonConfidential.com, BabylonConfidential.com, or ClaudiaChristian.net. Also, to get the information on the cure for alcoholism, you go to thecureforalcoholism.com or Sinclair-method.com. So those are your websites. Check them out. You'll find all kinds of wonderful information. And if you have a loved one or a friend, someone that you're trying to help, give them this information. Because if we don't share what we are aware of, how can we help? And that is what we're doing here today, taking a step towards perhaps bringing a light, not just to the end of the tunnel, but bringing light into the life of people that suffer from this horrible, horrible addiction. Thank you both for being my guest today. It's been just wonderful having you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
We are taking a break. We'll be right back.
Are you taking too many oral pain pills and concerned about the side effects? Are you having trouble getting to sleep at night because of the pain? Well, I'm Lou Paradise. I had the same problems you have, cured my pain, eliminated pain pills and their side effects by developing Toprasin, pain relief and healing cream. Toprasin relieves pain without the side effects. It doesn't burn, it doesn't smell, and it doesn't stain. But don't take my word for it. Doctors, pharmacists, and pain specialists are using and recommending Toprasin and ending the suffering for thousands of people just like you. We know you hurt. We want to help. We are so sure that Toprasin will work for you. We offer a money-back guarantee. So if you want the pain relief without the side effects, ask for Toprasin. Toprasin is available at Duane Reade, Quick Check Pharmacies, and Wegmans. Ask for Toprasin or call 1-800-959-1007 for a store near you. That's 1-800-959-1007. Toprasin, the last pain medicine you'll ever need, and you can sleep on that.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. Telephone lines are now open, 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. Well, it's holiday season, and so many of us are busy taking care of the things that need to be taken care of. And I think it is so much fun to hear the stories of different people and what the holidays mean to them. And there is a lovely woman by the name of Rosemary tumor. And she said when she was a little girl, her family always prepared for Christmas by lighting 4 candles in an Advent wreath. And she said her mom would make their wreath from pine cones that she would find in the local woods of Wisconsin. And then she'd decorate it with ribbons of different colors. And she said that every night a ritual took place before they went to bed. They turned off all the living room lights and they would stand in a circle around their wreath. And she said, my younger brother and I took turns lighting the tapers. And to light the candles was an absolutely wonderful privilege. So this was something that in the family was a tradition that the children just looked forward to every year. And she said the first week of Advent, they lit a purple candle, which symbolized hope. The second week, they added another purple candle, and this one was for peace. And the pink candle, and Rosemary said that was her absolute favorite, was added in the third week, and that stood for joy. And the final week, Christmas was coming up real fast, they lit a purple candle and prayed for love. And she said, they would say, for God so loved the world, he gave his only son. And see, she said, each week as those candles were lit, they would get more and more excited, of course, because they knew that the magic of Christmas was evolving. And now what was interesting with her family, she said the only time they ever burned candles was at birthdays and with the Christmas Advent wreath. So she said, candles to me always have had an association with pleasure, with family, anticipation of something wonderful. And that caused her to do a little bit of investigation into the history of candles and how they came about. And in her research, she said it was the Egyptians, she found out. Now, perhaps it's gone back further than that. But they were the ones that were given credit as the first to dip the rushes into animal fat, enabling the candle, so to speak, of rushes to burn longer. And the Romans were the first ones that used actual wicks for candles. Now, the Egyptians made tallow candles, and the Romans did the same thing. The Romans, though, again, developed the wicks. Now, it was wonderful because that made light. You could see at night. But they said it's nothing. Well, when you burn tallow candles, it smokes badly, smells awful, and it drips like crazy. And you just get a little tiny bit of light. And if ever you've been in any of these old churches, I was in some very, very old cathedrals in Russia, and they use those tallow candles. And boy, do they create a mess. But what happens is you have to use a whole bunch of them, just a whole bunch of them. But tallow was cheap. You know, it was very inexpensive. And so that's why it was used at the time. Now, it wasn't until the Middle Ages that people started making candles from beeswax. And this is a clear substance that bees secrete when they're building their honeycomb. Now, interestingly, beeswax candles, they burn clean, they smell good, and they don't drip very much. But only the churches used the beeswax candles because they were very expensive. The average person couldn't have them at all. So when we are in our world today with all of our electricity that's lighting up our world, we don't think twice about turning on a switch and bingo, we've got illumination. When that came about in the 1800s, that was a life-changing technology. In fact, that was one of the biggest changes that occurred in the world because it enabled people, one, they could work longer, two, they'd be able to read and study and enjoy their evenings. Usually everybody had to go to bed because you couldn't burn enough candles for long enough to be able to do some of the things that you need to do. Reading by the firelight, that sounds romantic, but it can really be hard on your eyes. And then they didn't have stove inserts and things like that like we've got today. So the light is very, very important. And bees, there was a very special association with bees because bees were considered symbols of purity, and the candles from the wax were considered almost sacred. They were just very, very important to life. So a candle, according to Rosemary, is a promise. Every time she lights one, she said, it gives us an opportunity to marvel. And I think it also gives us an opportunity to savor our blessings as well, which is a symbol of this season. I was listening. I had to go out on errands early this morning, and I was listening to a commentary on a talk radio show that was saying how if you're finding that the long hours of winter are getting to you and you're experiencing the doldrums, that then research, they've discovered this, that you, if you will sit down and write out three things that you're grateful for, three things. It can be the food on your plate, it can be the clothes you're wearing, whatever it is that you're grateful for. There's a shift that occurs in the brain. And if you do this at night before you go to bed, it allows you to rest better. It has a psychological pacifying effect. And then on the other hand, when you do it in the morning, when you say, I am grateful for whatever, then it starts your day off wonderfully. So as part of the holiday season, when these days are the darkest, that's right, we're coming up to the 21st, which is the winter solstice, which typically is the darkest day of the year. And it's something, after that, then things change. And that's why this celebration of Christmas is so important. There are so many other levels to it, but it's just an absolute joy, I think, this time of the year. And I listened to his commentary and I thought, good point, good point. Take time to be grateful. Take time to be aware that your life is rich with opportunity and promise, and it's going to even get better. Donna Sebo here. Telephone lines are open. If you'd like to call in and chat with me, let me light up your life with a little bit of insight about what is your potential opportunity at 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. Next week, we're going to be talking about Christmas miracles. We're going to start next week off with that. Mary Ellen is going to be my guest. We're going to be talking about real stories about real people who have had real miracles occur in their life. Naturopathic healing. If this is an interest of yours, well, you're going to like Michael Schwartz because he has put it down in black and white and will be discussing some of those points of information. Angel's Tale, right in the season of giving, of miracles, of magic, of wonder. That's what the Christmas season symbolizes. Catherine Lanigan is going to be my guest next week. We'll be talking about Ring Shui. Mm-hmm. Barbara Berg is going to be my guest. What is Ring Shui? I didn't know anything about it until I got her material. What does it say when you wear rings on certain fingers? Does it make a difference if you're male or female? Well, Barbara's going to give us information about that. And then, children of the fifth world. Now, these are children that are being born today. PMH Atwater is a woman that is a researcher. She's a scientist. She has written so many phenomenal books. But this one is very interesting because the children that are being born today, the environment they're being born into, is creating a whole world that so many of us that have been around for a little bit of time go, wow, things are changing really fast. How are these children, how can we prepare them for this world that they are going to be occupying? What can we do to help them? Well, we're going to find out about the children of the fifth world, who they are, what they do, and why she feels that these children are exceptional and what they're going to be bringing into the world. Donna Sebo here. I know we're going to be taking a break in just a moment, and you are welcome to give me a call at 888-627-6008. I have a recipe, a chocolate recipe that I think you will adore, and it's for ice cream. Mm-hmm. But it's not just ice cream. This is a treat that you could fix, and kids will love it, and your adult guests will love it, and you can prepare it well in advance so that it can be this spectacular dessert that will just be absolutely delicious. So have your pad of paper and pen handy, and I'll be sharing with you rich chocolate ice cream and a very special thing that goes with that chocolate ice cream that will just be magical. We'll be back in just a moment.
Have you ever had a friend tell you about a product they really believed in? Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Toprosin is a homeopathic cream that is just fabulous. I use it and my friends use it for relief of painful discomfort such as aching muscles and sore feet. Odorless, non-greasy, it is a product that belongs in everyone's medicine cabinet and first aid kit. Check out www.toprosin.com. That's T-O-P-R-I-C-I-N. And find out more information. You can order Toprosin online or call 800-959-1007. That's 800-959-1007. Be sure to give them the code DS30 and you'll receive a 30% discount. Toprosin, non-toxic, safe for children too. This is a product that really works. Try it. I think you'll like it.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo, and I'm going to share with you quickly before I share the chocolate recipe. This is a cute little story. We all know at Christmas time, because we see it every day, if you watch television, you listen to radio, you're going to hear ads about Santa Claus, always related to various products. And or the helpers, the elves, all this stuff is always going on. One Christmas, Santa was in his street clothes shopping at a Radio Shack for some batteries, and there was an adult lady shopper who was not fooled by the lack of a Santa suit. And Santa is just a wonderful guy. His name is Jim Pollard, and he's been playing Santa for so many years. He just absolutely loves it. And he was, like I said, at Radio Shack, and she really wasn't fooled because he wasn't dressed in his Santa suit. She said, oh, my goodness, Santa really does shop at Radio Shack. She saw him. And even without his Santa suit, this guy really does look like Santa. Round, jolly face, a white beard. I mean, and he's got the tummy. He's just... That's it. That's exactly what kids will do. And I'll share with you a cute story. My husband, who loves to sing, was performing, and we happened to also have to go to a wedding this one day. And we were standing outside, and at the time, my husband, whose hair is very, very white, he had developed a very long beard, and it was very nicely trimmed, and he looked very handsome with it. And this little girl kept looking at him. And he wasn't dressed in a Santa outfit. He was dressed in a business suit, looking very handsome. And this little girl walked up to him, and her mom and dad were standing close by. And she looked at him, and she said, are you Santa Claus? And he said, what do you think? She said, I think you are Santa Claus. And she started telling him what she wanted. She was 3.5 years old. Kids are amazing. And we laugh about it to this day. And her dad was just so surprised that his daughter was talking so enthusiastically to this stranger. And when he found out, he got a twinkle in his eye, and he really laughed. But she said, you're Santa. But to have a 3.5-year-old walk up to you and start giving you her Christmas list is an experience. that is so very, very memorable. Donna Sebo here. Give me a buzz at 888-627-6008. By the way, I want to thank those of you that are sending me such wonderful stories and videos and this type of thing, because I'm able to include many of them in my newsletter that goes out at the first of every month. And I don't have a lot of time to do a whole bunch of research, and I have been so blessed by those of you that have said, oh, Donna, look at this, look at this, look at this, look at this. And I get all of this various information that I'm able to go through in a very short period of time. And when I can, I like to use it. So I want to take this opportunity for thanking you by keeping me informed on so many things. I mean, I read volumes of material, but I thoroughly, thoroughly enjoy hearing from you. And all you have to do is go to my website and peruse through my newsletters, and you'll know that I have a very eclectic newsletter, just like I have a very eclectic radio show. So I'm just so pleased that you do that. I want you again to know how much I appreciate it. And I wanted to share with you a story that was sent to me by a woman, Marguerite. She said, many times when we're with people, they'll want to talk about their dreams or their aspirations. And they're sharing their dreams and aspirations with us, and many times it's very easy to be critical. Many times it's so easy to just say, well, that isn't practical. Certain people I know will say, oh, that's a stupid idea. You just shouldn't even consider it. Well, there was a gentleman by the name of Monty Roberts. Now, you may or may not have heard of Monty. He's called the Horse Whisperer, and he wrote a book called The Man Who Listens to Horses. When he was in high school, he was assigned a paper called My Goals in Life, and he had a teacher. His teacher's name was Mr. Fowler. Mr. Fowler was a left-brained person. He was only interested in the facts. That's it. You don't give me any woo-woo stuff. I really just want the facts. And he said, I'm not interested in fantasies about your being a movie star or anything else. However, Monty had a particular dream. He was the son of a horse trainer. He wanted to own his own thoroughbred racehorse facility. And Monty turned in his paper. In that paper, he detailed exactly his plan that he was going to execute to achieve his dream. Mr. Fowler read the paper, graded it, handed it back to Monty. Monty had failed. He gave him an F. He said, it's a wild, unattainable dream. I know your family and background. It would not be possible. And he demanded that Monty rewrite the paper. Well, you can imagine how devastating that was to Monty. Now, he went home. He sat down and had a talk with his mom. The next day, going back to school, he returned his original paper to his teacher. Along with that paper, he included a note. And his note said something to the effect of how he believed in his dream, in the goal, and he believed in the plan that he had laid out, and that the teacher shouldn't limit his choices, the things that he wanted to aspire to. That wasn't the teacher's place to do that. Now, Mr. Fowler didn't respond immediately to this, but Monty got an A in that class. Now, Monty went after his dream. He had to work very, very hard. He was extremely determined. He had a passion for horses. And it was a long time later, after he had become well established with his thoroughbred stable, that he got a call from his former teacher, Mr. Fowler. Mr. Fowler was working with a church group, and he wanted to have a tour of Monty's stable. When the tour was finished, Mr. Fowler had them all gathered together and told the entire group of people about Monty in his class, the term paper, and how he had given him a failing grade. He said, there was the time when I told him as a young boy, young man, that this was unattainable. He said, I want you to really take a good look at everything that's around us. Monty proved that I was wrong. He said, this young man taught me a lesson. It was one of the most valuable lessons I had ever learned. Don't stomp on other people's dreams. You wouldn't want them to stomp on yours. Don't stomp on theirs. You may want to give them practical information. That's wonderful. Practical information has its place. But don't tell them their dream can never be achieved, because you don't know what magic can evolve to make that dream come true, including your own. If you have some that you've put away in the closet of your mind, why don't you take it off your mental shelf and dust it off and look at it, reexamine it, and ask if there's still that aspiration and desire within yourself. This is Donna Sebo. Remember, always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. God bless. Have a magnificent day or evening wherever you might be. And know that you're very, very special. Thank you for spending the time with me. Enjoy your life. It's a good one. Talk to you on Monday. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.